serve the Lord in Cambodia, she goes with me everywhere I go. So we have the Lord with us, and I have my wife with me. So that's
amen.
So how many of you know she immensely helps our song singers in Cambodia? Even though we're singing a different language, but we're still singing praise to the Lord. So thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity just to let your folks know just a little bit, maybe, about what the Lord is doing there in Cambodia. And we're going to play this video here. It's about 10 minutes long. And what it does is it just gives our supporting churches that have been following us a little bit of an update. Maybe when the video's over, I'll kind of bring you up to speed about how God brought us from where we were back in the early 80s to where we are now in regard to working with the Cambodian people. And then perhaps share with you some testimonies from the field. And remind each of us tonight, and remind myself, we are very, very blessed here in America.
Amen.
To have a church that we can attend without fear that the government would try to come in and prevent us from worshiping Zeke. Amen. Many places in the world, they don't have that. Presently, we don't have that in Cambodia because of just different situations going on. And so we'll play this video, and then be thinking about any questions you might have about the field of Cambodia, or about missions, or about what it's like to work with Muslim and Buddhist people. And then if we can answer those questions towards the end of the service, that'd be wonderful. Okay, so I think we're about ready to go.
If you do good, you'll receive good. If you do bad, you'll receive bad.
You've got to depend upon your own merit.
Confusion brought about by the cults and the false teachings of the prosperity gospel from America as well as other countries has greatly contributed to the rejection of the true gospel here in Cambodia.
We thank God for His faithfulness in allowing our team and our family to not only see a great harvest in this prime location, but at the same time to see satellite ministries started in multiple villages that are reaching not just the Cambodian people, but also two other people groups that are considered unreached with the gospel. The Dogon people group, who are predominantly animist, and the Jong people group, who are predominantly Muslim.
Here we see some of the Jong believers singing praises to God in their own heart language.
Completed, we were only allowed to meet in it for a few short weeks. before restrictions related to COVID were tightened to the extent that we were forbidden to meet in groups larger than 10 individuals. For the past several months, we've been limited to holding online services only under the threat that our property would be confiscated if we tried to use it for church services. Our new online presence has given several of our national men who we've led to the Lord and trained for the ministry the opportunity to preach. It's been a great blessing for us to witness the Lord use them mightily as they passionately preach the Word of God to their own people online.
Because God's people, just like you, are faithful to pray.
That's right.
I suspect because your church is named Missionary Baptist that you must have Baptist as one of your core values. I'm sorry, missions as one of your core values.
Amen.
And I hope that you understand perhaps the most important thing you can do as a church, as a local church, is not just send your finances. That's very important. But it's to stand behind your missionaries in prayer. Mm-hmm. In church, let your missionary families know you're praying for them, if you are. Mm-hmm. And let them know specifically what you're praying about. Respond to their prayer letters when they send them. That would be a great blessing to your missionary family. You know, it was in 1984 that as a young person living in Des Moines, Iowa, my pastor at that time cast a vision to our church to begin reaching out to a part of town that was really neglected by the gospel. It was an inner city part of town where the people looked quite a bit different than my family did. looked very different from the makeup of our local church there in Des Moines, Iowa. But our pastor, a former missionary to the Philippines for about 27 years, constantly would talk about the importance of taking the gospel right here at home. We know the command of the Great Commission is to simultaneously take the gospel to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And I remember as a young person, he challenged us with the fact, with the truth, that Samaria for us is people groups right here at home who are neglected, who are marginalized, who are looked down on, and many times who look different than us. And began casting this vision and letting the church know that very soon we would begin going into these parts of town that look different than we did, but we'd be going there to take the gospel and see if the Lord would win some of those folks to him. Well, my dad was one of the assistant pastors there at the church, pastor. And my dad got recruited to head up that particular ministry. And wouldn't you know it, my dad came and tapped on my shoulder and said, "Dave, you are going to help run a what we call a bus route." Now, you may or not be familiar with bus ministry. Okay, in those days, it was a very effective tool to go into areas and try to invite men and women and boys and girls to come to Sunday school and come to church. Now, my dad had no choice but to head up that ministry because he was assistant pastor and the senior pastor said, "Do it." And so he came and recruited me, and I had no choice because he was my dad and I lived in his home and I had to respect and obey him, right? Dave had no desire to go into that part of town, number one. And number two, Dave was very, very insecure and was scared to death. But can I tell you something? As a 16-year-old young man, God used the things that I saw to affect my heart.
Amen.
In a moment, we're going to read just two verses. Maybe share a couple of testimonies from the field. But the truth of the matter is, there were parts of that town where the gospel had been heard, but had been rejected over and over and over again. Now, God used that experience of the bus ministry to work in my heart and my wife's heart. At the time, we were not obviously married, we were just teenagers. But to let us to see what God would have us to do with our future. You know, one of the most important things, and I believe our brother in adult Sunday school this morning alluded to this, that if we're a member of this church, we're a faithful attender of this church, and we're members, that we really ought to be serving and not just sitting. That's very important. Whether we're older, whether we're middle-aged, whether we're a young person, God did not save us to sit, sour, and sulk.
That's right.
He saved us to serve.
Amen.
And it's as we're active serving that we begin to understand there's needs all around us. I want to point out a difference, though, between the needs for the gospel here in America in comparison to the need for the gospel in places like Cambodia. In Psalm chapter 76, Psalm chapter 76, the psalmist writes, "In Judah is God known. His name is great in Israel." Mm-hmm. In Judah is God known. Now I want to thank the Lord tonight that we do have a God who didn't just create us, but a God who desires for us to know him.
Amen.
Do you know God tonight?
Amen.
Pastor's going to give an invitation later. I'm not necessarily preaching a message tonight, but the fact of the matter is, if you're here this evening and you don't know God, God desires for you to know him.
Right.
Not to know about him, but to know him. And we know that the book of Luke chapter 10 tells us this is the reason why Jesus came, to seek and to save those who were lost. And so there was a place there called Judah, and in that place, God's name was known, and it was great. You know, there's many places here in America and in the West where God's name is known. They're familiar with things like Jesus saves. As I was looking at that this morning, I was thinking, you would have a hard time going anywhere here in America, honestly, where this phrase is not known. Where the phrase right there, "Jesus is Lord." Now, they may not believe it. They may not believe Jesus saves. They may not believe Jesus is Lord or Jesus is the way. But they've heard that before.
That's right.
But yet there's still a need for churches and for individuals, you and I, who know God, to go out into our communities locally and to open our mouths with boldness at work and to write emails and send texts. And if we're on social media, to use our social media to draw others to Christ. But they know these phrases. And so there in Psalms, there was a place called Judah and a place called Israel where God's name was known and his name was great. But I want you to look over to chapter 74. And we don't have time to go into chapter 74 as far as the background. But the psalmist there is writing likely about the situation that the Jewish people found themselves in while they were in captivity. And what it was like for them to be under the control of these captors who were in Babylon, who were without God. And how many of you know that people who are without God are mean people? We live in a time where the Bible says it's perilous times. And it's going to get worser and worser and worser, to put it in my best English. Why? Because people do not know God.
That's right.
And they're lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. And they love pleasure and that type of a thing. But as the psalmist describes the condition of God's people, God's chosen people, he says something very interesting I want to talk about for a moment here. Chapter 74, verse number 20. Have respect unto the covenant for the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty. The dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty. So we have two places described here. We have a place in chapter 76 where God is known. And by the way, where God is known, a high quality of living is known also.
Amen.
Where God reigns supreme, there is peace, not only in the land, but especially in the heart. Where God's name is great, it's a good life. But then there's another place. There's another place here known as the dark places.
That's right.
Let me say something. There are many places here in the world where the gospel has never one time been clearly presented. They don't have any idea. If you were to tell many people in Cambodia that Jesus saves, now some of them would have heard it and rejected it many times over. But there are places in Vietnam and Thailand and Laos and Cambodia where we have teams serving where they've never heard that phrase before. They have no idea that Jesus is Lord. They have no idea that there's one way to heaven. And they're busy, just like you saw the lady begging for the ancestors to help her. They're begging for spirits to come and bless them. And they're depending upon their own good works. These are the dark places of the world.
That's right.
We are very blessed here in America that though there is darkness around us, there's light in here tonight. Amen?
That's right.
And though there's darkness around us, and America is just, I don't know what's happening here in America. We live overseas, and we have our own issues there, but everything is getting darker. But in our own hearts, we know truth, and we have light. God wants us as individuals.
Amen.
And collectively as a church, to be walking with him in such a way that light shines in the darkness.
Amen.
You know, now as much as ever, perhaps more than ever in the history of America, at least recent years, as we see things are getting darker and darker and darker, you know, it's a great opportunity for us because a light always shines brightest in the darkness.
That's right.
Right?
Amen.
Now, if we could illustrate that principle tonight, and we each had flashlights, and we turned on our flashlight, imagine that, with these bright lights on, those flashlights would seem insignificant. But if we were to turn out these lights, turn out all the flashlights, and just shine one flashlight, and then shine two flashlights, and imagine, let's say we have 20 people here tonight, 25 folks here tonight, if we all shined our lights, that would light up the darkness.
That's right. Amen.
Now, why are these places like Cambodia, like Vietnam, like Laos, like Cambodia, like perhaps some places here in America, why are these places known as dark places or described as dark places that are full of the habitations of cruelty? It's because they're in need of the gospel.
Amen.
Now, there's many different ideas about missions today in 2021, and some of them actually are not found in the Word of God. And you need to know this. You need to know that there's an idea, there's a philosophy that missions means leaving a place like America and going to a third world country and teaching them how to plant better crops. Mm-hmm. Teaching them how to purify their water.
Yep.
Teaching them English. Teaching them job skills. No, I'm not against clean water. How many of you enjoy drinking clean water?
Amen.
I do. I'm not against having good crops. We have a little garden in our backyard there in Cambodia. My sons love working at it. But that's not the gospel.
Nope.
What do the people living in the dark places that are full of the habitations of cruelty, what do they need? They need to love the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
They need for somebody to talk to them and to tell them that they need the love of Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ died on the cross for them. You see, these people that are living in darkness, that are full of the habitations of cruelty, they know in their conscience and in their heart, they know there is a God. You think about Romans chapter 1. We don't have time to go there, but Romans chapter 1 tells us that the invisible things that are created that we don't see, they give evidence that there is a creator. And within each and every one of us, whether we're living here in America or we're living in a dark place like Cambodia, Thailand, Laos, or Vietnam, we all know, every human being knows in their deepest being that they are not a product of evolution. They have to be taught that. They have to be taught that their life is an accident. They have to be taught that they evolve. Inside of every single one of us is that knowledge that there is a creator. And the Bible says there's a certain group of people who choose to not remember that. And on purpose they suppress it. And they're living in darkness, but inside of their conscience they know. Romans chapter 2 tells us that they know the law of God because it's written on their heart. They know without anybody telling them, though they bow down to idols, they know because God wrote it in their heart, they know that they're not to have a graven image.
That's right.
They know that. They know by nature that they are to honor their father and their mother. They know by nature that they should not kill, should not unlawfully take a life. They know that it's wrong to commit adultery. That's why they do it under the cover of darkness.
That's right.
How do they know that? Not because the government teaches them that. By the way, I live in a place where the people are taught you don't kill because the government says you can't kill. You don't commit adultery because the government says you don't commit adultery. No, that's not why we don't do those things. We don't do those things because God said they're wrong.
That's right.
Right?
Amen.
Doesn't matter what the government says. Doesn't matter what society says or current culture. They might say it's okay to abort your baby. But by nature, we all know that it's wrong.
That's right.
And we have to choose to ignore the evidence. Mm-hmm. But can I say something? The things that are created give evidence of a creator. The laws of God written in our heart give evidence of a creator. But that knowledge is simply enough to damn a soul to hell.
That's right. Amen.
It is not enough to have your sins forgiven, to know there's a God. You know, a famous evangelist years ago that perhaps started out many years ago faithfully preaching the gospel, I'm not sure, but I watched him on an interview several years ago on a very famous network, and he said he used to believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven, but that now, after traveling to India, after traveling to other countries, and meeting Buddhists and Hindus and Muslims who are faithfully following their own religion, he has come to understand that there's many ways to heaven. And that God in heaven someday at the judgment will look at a person and determine, were they faithful to the only light they had seen? And if they called that God Muhammad, that the Creator God would say, it's fine. All you knew was that. Come into heaven. If all you knew was bowing down to territorial spirits, but within you, you were seeking God and you were trying to be faithful and you were faithful to that religion like they do there in Cambodia, bow down to the spirits. As long as you were faithful, God will overlook that because you didn't know any better. I have a hard time backing that up with Scripture.
That's right.
At least with the version that I use.
Yep.
There might be a version coming along in a few years where that will back it up, substantiate it.
Amen.
No, you see, there is the light of the conscience, there's the light of nature, but there has to be the light of the gospel that's shown into their lives. And how does that happen? That happens through you and I telling them. See, the book of Romans says, how can they believe unless they're told?
Amen.
And we have to tell them. Whether it's our relatives here at home who have rejected it over and over, we still have to tell them again.
That's right. Amen.
Right? You know, it's interesting. Last night I did a voice chat back and forth with a lady there in Cambodia. Her name is Malope. Now, Malope means shade. Like a shade tree means shade. For probably 3 to 4 years, nearly every Saturday, my wife and I and other soul winners from our church would go by her house there in Phnom Penh, and we would try to share the gospel with her. We'd won her heart. She loved us. Hey, Dave, come and sit down and whatnot. And her mother, who was 70-some-odd years old, would listen to the gospel week in and week out. And they would always tell me, okay, that makes sense, and I like it and all that, but I don't have time to be a Christian because I'm busy with my business. And her business was to sell little breadsticks, deep fry them, and then take them to different restaurants and businesses, and those businesses would use those breadsticks as offerings to the territorial spirits. And that's how she supported her family for many years. We would go there week in and week out and just try to present the plan of salvation to her, try to love her to the Lord and whatnot, and she constantly would reject it. She was always polite, but would never repent and accept Christ, would never be willing to turn from idols to the living God. Probably 2 years ago or so, I got a phone call from her one day, on Facebook actually, a text message. Pastor Dave, I wanted to let you know, I believe.
Amen.
She accepted Christ. Amen. And I don't know the circumstances. We haven't seen her in what, maybe 3 or 4 years by that point. She had moved away. She's living in another city now. So we were at a restaurant a couple days ago in Long Beach eating some Cambodian soup, because they have a lot of Cambodians there in Long Beach, California, and eating that particular bread that she used to make. And I thought of her. And so I took a picture of it and sent it to her and said, hey, we were thinking of you, Malope. And she sent back several voicemails and said, Pastor, thank you so much for coming to my house every week and sharing the gospel.
Amen.
In a broken voice, she said, I am so remorseful that I chose my business over Jesus Christ. I thank God that God was patient in drawing me to himself, even though I constantly tried to push him away. I wish I would have been saved years ago, but thank you for faithfully telling me the gospel. Now, I wonder how many people in our lives that we used to share the gospel with. We used to be really burdened. Maybe there was a revival meeting here at church, and the pastor would say, hey, someone's going to be preaching the gospel. Get your lost mom here. Get your lost son here. You have that neighbor that visits every once in a while. Get them here on that meeting. And we used to passionately plead for them to come. We'd pray for them. We'd beg God to work in their heart. And that went on for a while. And now, due to circumstances, our own discouragement, whatever, we've kind of backed out. You know, I wonder if tonight would be a good time to remember those people when they stand before God. And they will give an account for what they've done with the gospel.
That's right.
But I believe we will also stand before the Lord. And it would be a good thing if we had been faithfully pursuing that lost person, whether they got saved or not, whether they liked the message or not. You know, we will be rewarded, I believe, not on the number of people who make decisions for Christ, but on our faithfulness to obey what God's told us to do.
Amen.
And so there's people living in darkness, whether it's here in America, many times they've rejected the gospel, but they're still living in a habitation of cruelty.
Sure.
One thing that shocks Debbie and I and Jason is we're back visiting America, and we always notice new trends. But the new trend that we've noticed, and we feel it very much, we've only been back for a little bit over a month, and I can tell you 3 or 4 illustrations specifically, but it has to do with this oppression and this darkness and this depression that seems like is deep in our culture right now.
Yeah. Amen.
A lot of depression. You know, it's not the abundant life that Jesus Christ came to give us that causes depression. It's the thief.
That's right.
John 10:10.
Amen.
Who come to rob, kill, and destroy. And sadly, there's some Christians living in that type of darkness also. But I assume if we're the Sunday night crowd, we're at least striving to live a life that's surrendered to God, and we're experiencing an abundant life. Amen. You know, it would be a good thing if we would allow our light to shine.
Amen.
To those who right now are being robbed, killed, and destroyed. Not only for their life here on earth, but for all eternity they will suffer. And so Judah knew God, and God's name was great in Israel. It was well known, but there were different places in the world where there was darkness, and it was habitations of cruelty. And you see, those people need to hear the gospel. They know there's a God, but they don't know who he is. Mm-hmm. They know there's a God, but they have no idea that he cares about them. In places like Cambodia, they know there's a God. Very clearly, they know there's a God. But they don't believe that that God cares anything about them. One reason they have a struggle with that is because when they do hear a type of gospel from America and from the West, a prosperity gospel, here in this part of Nevada, is that thing prevalent? Okay, and it basically goes like this. If you accept Christ, you will have no more problems in life.
Yep.
You won't be sick. You'll be wealthy. I'm simplifying it. Okay, it's not quite that, but for some people, they really do believe that. You blab it and you grab it. Yep. Name it and claim it.
Yep.
Turn on whatever your local Christian TV station is, and nearly every preacher, I'm assuming, will be that type of a background.
Sure.
And that thing's prevalent in Asia. So you have the majority of people living in Cambodia in abject poverty, and they have to tell themselves, listen, if there is a God, he's a cruel, cruel God, because he doesn't know about my situation, or else he's not all-powerful, he's not all-knowing, like you say, because I'm living in poverty. This is their mindset. They need to know the true gospel, that Jesus Christ loves them, left a perfect place of heaven to pay for the price of our sin.
Sure.
He was crucified. He wasn't martyred. He was crucified voluntarily.
That's right.
Went to the cross for you and I. He is the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
People like Malope, who accepted Christ, they need to hear that. We can give you story after story after story of folks who lived, some of them demonically possessed for years. Very strange, strange paranormal things that took place in their life on a regular basis. And when they heard the gospel, they were set free of that, and they were given hope. And they are now bold soul winners in some of these dark places that are full of habitations.
Amen.
And so whether we live here in Henderson, we're surrounded by darkness, we need to be a bold witness. Or whether we live in places like Cambodia, we need to be a bold witness. Your role as a church here is to fulfill your role here and then to support those that your church is led to support overseas through prayer and finances. But don't forget the prayer. Because when we talk about darkness, that's a spiritual realm. Spiritual realm has to be conquered through spiritual means, which means prayer. It's very, very important. You know, anytime you see a missionary throw in the towel and come back to America in defeat, most of the time, it's not because of moral issues. Most of the time, it's not because they're just sick and tired of dealing with the lost. Most of the time, it's because they are living in spiritual defeat because God's people aren't supporting them through prayer.
That's right.
And that's the bottom line. Make sure you're doing that. Remember that the missionaries you support are living in places that are full of the habitations of cruelty. It wears on them emotionally. It wears on them spiritually to be around these people. How many of you know that the devil is not happy when the gospel is taken by your missionaries, by the people they've discipled, into these places of dark habitations of cruelty.
Sure.
He's controlled areas there in Cambodia for thousands of years. The area where our church just moved to, where we bought the land, built the building and whatnot, for thousands of years has been under the control of the evil one. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4 that if the gospel is hid, is hidden by the God, the fake God of this world, and he tries to hide the glorious light of the gospel, lest they'll see the glorious light of the gospel and repent and be saved.
Amen.
Pray for your missionaries in places like that. And be a bold witness here at home. Amen?
Amen.
If we're here tonight and we know the Lord, it's possible God might be calling us to leave a place like this. You have a close walk with the Lord. You're living a life under accountability by the spiritual leaders that God's given you. You see a need in other places of the world. God will use your circumstances here at home to direct you someplace. It might be that God would call you to go to some place that's dark. You need to be open to that as well.
Amen.
So, church, thank you for the opportunity, Pastor, tonight to allow us to just share you a brief glimpse into the ministry. In a few minutes, maybe we'll open it up to questions if you all have any. But let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I want to hand it back to the pastor here in a moment. But there are dark places in this world that are in need of the gospel. But right here in Henderson, it's possible that you're sitting here in this auditorium. And you'd have to say, Brother Dave, I've heard the gospel many times, but I don't know the Lord. I know about him. I know about the Baptist religion. I like coming here and hanging out and singing the songs, but the truth of the matter is, if I were to die tonight, I'm not sure that heaven would be my home. And that bothers me. I would like to know that I have the right relationship. I'm in right standing God. Is there anybody like that this evening? Okay. Then the second question would be this. Maybe this evening the Lord has reminded you of someone who is special in your life. A loved one who doesn't know the Lord. Maybe there was a time in the past where you passionately pled with them to come to Christ. You were burdened for them. Maybe you fasted for them. You would try to spend time with them and influence them to come to Christ, but over the years, for whatever reason, you've gotten away from that. And maybe just during this challenge the last few minutes, the Holy Spirit has reminded you of that person's name. And you thought, you know, I need to contact this individual. It would be a good thing right there in your chair tonight to make that commitment to the Lord. That the first opportunity you have, you will renew a relationship with that individual for the express purpose of seeing if you can win them to Christ. They're living in darkness without hope. We're in a culture here that is going to reinforce that darkness. It's going to tell them there's no hope. Truth is, there is hope. Would there be anybody tonight that would say, Brother Board, there is someone who's come to my mind, the Lord's reminded me of, with God's help, it is my intention to try to renew a relationship with that individual and see if they'll come to Christ. Is there anybody like that that would say, please help pray for me, okay? Several hands. With God's help. I believe if we desire to renew that relationship, the Lord will enable us through his grace to do that. I'm going to pray and hand that to the pastor. Father God, I thank you for the opportunity to challenge your people just a little bit this evening.